Hi, I'm Riley Fessler. I'm a podcast producer here at the DSR Network, which means that my job is to make sure that we have great content and great guests across all of our shows. Our programming is supported by our members, and for that, we are truly grateful. I hope that you'll consider becoming a member to support the work that we do. Members receive an ad-free listening experience, bonus content for nearly all of our shows, early access to episodes, enhanced show notes, and access to our exclusive DSR Slack and Discord communities. Membership is just $7 per month or $70 per year. To become a member, please visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy. Thank you very much for your support. Hello and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the DSR Daily. I am your host for today, Riley Fessler, joined as always by Chris Cotnor. Chris, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Chris, so why don't you kick it off with your first story?
Relations between President Joe Biden and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have reached a low point as the U.S. allowed a UN resolution for a Gaza ceasefire without demanding the release of hostages held by Hamas. This decision led Netanyahu to cancel a planned U.S. visit for talks, signaling a growing rift amid the ongoing conflict in Gaza. U.S. abstention from vetoing the ceasefire resolution marks a shift in its traditional support for Israel, reflecting frustration with Netanyahu's policies and increasing international pressure for peace. The situation complicates both leaders' domestic political challenges, with Netanyahu facing demands for a tough stance on Palestinians and Biden navigating between supporting Israel and responding to progressive Democrats' concerns. The deepening tensions underscore the complex dynamics at play between the U.S. and Israel, with potential implications for both countries' foreign and domestic politics. Riley.
A New York State appeals court has ruled in favor of Donald Trump in the civil fraud case against him, significantly reducing the bond he must post from $464 million to $175 million, which is, of course, a major victory for Trump. The court's decision delays the state attorney general Letitia James' ability to start collecting on the judgment. Trump expressed gratitude for the quick action and stated that he would promptly arrange the $175 million required within the given 10-day time frame. The appeal court's decision also temporarily suspends the judgment's provision that prohibited Trump from serving as a public officer in any company. So the attorney general's office remains undeterred and emphasized that the judgment for Trump's staggering fraud still stands, while Trump and his legal team are touting this as a major victory. So, you know, it is a victory for Trump, but this also only kind of kicks the can down the road. He still will have to pay that at some point unless his appeal is successful. So it's a short-term victory, but it is disappointing. So we'll see where this goes. Chris?
The damage to a key oil pipeline in South Sudan, passing through conflict-ridden Sudan, has heightened risks of political and economic instability in the region. This disruption threatens South Sudan's budget, heavily reliant on oil revenues, which account for about 90% of the country's income. Most of the oil proceeds are either shared with oil companies, paid to Sudan, or funneled into special projects, often bypassing national budgetary needs and exacerbating local grievances over corruption and misallocation of resources. The potential financial crisis could deepen poverty, increase violence, and contribute to lawlessness, with the local population already enduring extreme hardship. The situation is complicated by South Sudan's political dynamics, including upcoming elections, and the international community's concerns about the country's readiness for a credible democratic process. The economic downturn might force the government to seek bailouts, possibly from the UAE, amidst ongoing corruption issues and external influences on the nation's politics and economy. Riley.
So, big story actually in Baltimore, where a dramatic and tragic incident occurred when a container ship collided with the Francis Scott Key Bridge early this morning, causing a significant portion of the bridge to collapse into the river below. The event led to several vehicles, including one the size of a tractor trailer, plunging into the waters, where rescuers later searched for survivors, and the searches are ongoing. Two individuals were rescued, with one in serious condition, with the search potentially extending to seven people. The cause of the crash, which thankfully happened before the morning rush hour, remains unclear. It resulted in the bridge snapping and buckling, with the spectacle and ensuring vessel fire captured on social media, while Maryland Governor Westmore declared a state of emergency in response to what has been termed a developing mass casualty event. So this is obviously ongoing. It happened just early this morning, so keep an eye on this. Hopefully the remaining seven individuals will be rescued, but we will see. Chris?
The U.S. Supreme Court is set to evaluate the status of mifepristone, a key abortion pill, which could lead to a significant reduction in its accessibility nationwide, affecting even states where abortion remains legal. This deliberation revisits abortion legality less than 2 years after the Supreme Court revoked the constitutional right to abortion, deferring regulation to state lawmakers. The decision, anticipated by late June, could challenge the FDA's authority over drug approval and distribution, particularly spotlighting the expanded access granted to mifepristone since its 2000 approval. The case, initiated by anti-abortion entities, also questions their legal standing and the broader impact on healthcare professionals and emergency medical care. This legal challenge underscores the ongoing political and legal debate surrounding abortion, especially in the context of the FDA's regulatory decisions and the shifting landscape post-Roe v. Wade. Riley.
In a significant political shift for Senegal, Amadou Ba, the candidate from the ruling party and backed by outgoing President Macky Sall, conceded defeat in the presidential election to Bazirou Diomaye Faye, an anti-establishment figure and tax collector with no prior government experience. Faye's victory is anticipated to bring considerable changes in Senegal's politics, as he has proposed renegotiating the nation's oil and gas contracts, reassessing its relationship with France, and reviewing the currency tied to the euro. Faye, who is closely associated with Ousmane Sonko, a popular opponent of Sall barred from running, emerged victorious in a smoothly conducted election after the uncertainty and confusion that we have covered on this show several times. The election marks a departure from the past amidst frustrations with Sall's regime and concerns over the country's high living costs. The peaceful transition contrasts with recent coups in neighboring countries, highlighting Senegal's robust democratic culture despite challenges under Sall, including the repression and delayed elections that we have covered here. So it's great to see that this election went off smoothly after so much uncertainty. Chris, do you have any parting words for us today?
I do not.
All right, well, that's all I have. Again, we have plenty of pods to look forward to for the rest of the week. A new daily blast in your feeds this morning, and we have more coming tomorrow. So stay tuned for those, and until then, bye-bye.